What I'm going to present about today is empowering seniors to be advocates for walking. This is just some pictures of seniors that we work with in different places. I don't have any financial or other relationships to disclose. San Jose is the largest city in the Bay Area. It's bigger in population than San Francisco. It's historically, originally agricultural, and then became a suburban car-oriented development, primarily in the 50s, although part of the city is several hundred years old. It has a growing senior population. And the seniors in California and throughout the country are at greater risk. There's a strong disparity among their age group for pedestrian fatalities. So in California, and for all ages, there's just under 2 per 1,000 risk. For 65 and older, it's over 5, and for 75, it's almost 6.5. So you can see how great the disparity is. In part, this has to do with the frailty of each of our bodies as we get older. In the San Jose area, the 14.5% of the population is over 60. And by age, you can see that 44% of the fatalities, and these are almost all pedestrian, are suffered by seniors. So this is just in San Jose. You can see that over time, the percentage of fatalities that are pedestrians is growing. So 63, 41, 53, it's going to be closer to 60 this year. Of all traffic fatalities are people trying to cross the street or walking along the road. So the project that we undertook to address this issue is called the San Jose Steps Coalition to advance healthy, safe, and walkable neighborhoods across the city. Some of the coalition members included activists, seniors from the California Alliance for Retired Americans. We got them statewide to vote. Pedestrian safety is one of their top 10 priorities. Agents for Change is a local senior advocate for community change. California Walks partnered with Catholic Charities, worked in several lunch sites and senior centers across the city. Breathe California is part of the American Lung Association. Transform is a local transit and land use nonprofit. So we basically worked in these four levels: community engagement and action at the local level, and interplay by and with local and citywide with shared values, goals, and peer learning. Coordinated citywide advocacy through the coalition in order to create a more healthy, safe, and walkable city. So in the community engagement and action at the local level, we started with workshops to engage seniors in what were their concerns about walking. In this case, that they had become interested in this issue because of the number of people who were getting hit and or killed outside the senior center trying to get to and from. Some of them were jaywalking to get to the bus stop and putting themselves in danger, and then others were obeying all the pedestrian kind of safety rules and still getting hit. And the group that we started with was the Eastside Neighborhood Center. It's a largely Latino population. And we had a number of community forums and petitions. These pictures include a meeting of the California Alliance Retired American Users Community Action Teams, and they were concerned about speeding vehicles near where they met. And we just picked the closest intersection. Turned out to be a horrible freeway interchange. But we only picked it because that was the closest one to where they met that we could walk to and people. A lot of the work we do is to get people out and in the community and for them to articulate what they do know, because they are the ones who actually know the real conditions on the ground. And this kind of community-based participatory action research is very valuable if you want to create a policy change. The bottom picture shows a state senator, Bell. This was his district, and he came out in response to letters of invitation. We found out later that when he was a teenager, he saw another student in his school get seriously hurt as a pedestrian in a car crash. And it stayed with him, and he's worked around issues of pedestrian safety and helped that to advance his electoral career. So this is one of the community action events. It's really important and effective to have fun. So this was on Halloween in the Latino community. Of course, that's the Day of the Dead, and it's apropos to this particular problem. And so, basically people cross the street on the light and create a statement about safety. And it often gets news coverage, which we were able to do here. The other kind is when there's a tragedy. In this case, a three-year-old was killed walking with the babysitter and her younger sister in a stroller across the street in a marked crosswalk on a green light, and a car turned left and injured the other two and killed a toddler. And it was shortly before Christmas. And the community was very incensed about the whole thing. And so they held a vigil, and again, the neighborhood association turned out. The senator came, the local city council member, Licardo, who just ran for mayor of the city. And they made a point that things needed to change. So the interplay between local and citywide groups we handled in the following way. The last thing I just wanted to add about community engagement, it is important to engage the media along with it in order to increase your visibility in terms of dealing with decision makers. Because otherwise, it's too easy to dismiss community as that's kind of the line of first resistance is, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just creating a fuss, and they're exaggerating, and, go home. And so being articulate and being present and creating a large enough voice that you can't be disregarded is important in creating community change on a policy level. So one of the things we did was, this is a group from the United Seniors of Oakland and Alameda County. They have 21 walk clubs that have been in existence for more than 10 years. This is an almost entirely volunteer-supported effort. And they were very happy to, we rented a bus so they could come down for the day and talk to some other seniors about what they do and why they do it and what difference it's made in their lives in terms of their individual health and their ability to change their community. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. The other thing that we did is peer-led walk audits are really important in creating walkable community change. Again, it's documenting the conditions that exist, having the people by walking together have a common experience from which they can prioritize their needs because they've all had a similar experience to create a common base of understanding that then applies to not all of these people came from the same block, but then having shared a block walk together, then their various experiences, they can all compare and have some trust in the accuracy of other people's reporting. and we then used those as part of the citywide advocacy. So the focal point for the city outreach started out to be Alum Rock Avenue, which is to be a future transit corridor going from east to west in San Jose. And the east side of San Jose historically is the Latino community. Cesar Chavez was born like three blocks away from where the center is. And there's a lot of pride. There had been decades of disinvestment, and now there's new investment coming in, a lot of it in senior multifamily housing, and bringing on a host of challenges, but this is a very wide street. So we started out, the woman who's up at the map is from the city traffic engineering, so we got them to come out and explain the plans for the city. The people then documented what their changes were. One of the things they had wanted from the beginning was to move the bus stop so that people would stop jaywalking from the senior center and nearly getting a hit. And so by working with the city, they were able to get the bus stop moved back to the crosswalk, duh, and to have that happen in several other places. So they moved on building on that initial success. This is the corner where the car group went and worked. And you can see people coming on and off the freeway here. And the islands that are here didn't exist. People were going around this corner at 50 miles an hour. And then people were trying to walk, and the only thing that was there was the crosswalk. So when the city came out, that's another reason why you want to take a walk. Because when you get your actual transportation professionals or your elected leaders out on the walk, they can see for themselves that it's totally dangerous. And when the traffic engineer saw how dangerous it was, they prioritized fixing this intersection. And it still has some problems. It's still huge, but it's much safer than it was before. The other thing for seniors is that the signals aren't long enough for you to get across the street. And there's actually been federally and in the state of California, we've had changes in order to create longer time to cross the street. It's one of those silly things, when they originally did the study to decide how long you need to walk across the street, the people who were the study subjects were, guess who? College students, 20-year-olds, who walk faster than 75-year-olds, or mothers with strollers or 3-year-olds. And so we took this beyond one signal to a citywide issue, and they agreed to retime the signals across the city, starting with the senior and community centers and the schools. And so this is what we accomplished over the course of a year in terms of that. Again, it's something that is easily done by a city, relatively speaking, in transportation terms. And they should have done it already anyway. So what's next? The truth is that at 40 miles an hour, over 85% of the people who are hit by a car die. And it's a much higher percent of seniors when they die at 6 times the rate of everybody else. And at 30 miles an hour, you have a very high probability of injury, but a low probability of death. And at 20 miles an hour, you have almost no chance of death, probably 5%. And a strong chance of getting injured, but surviving. So it's really a speed issue at the point of collision, and what most drivers don't realize and few pedestrians is that it takes a car a long time to stop once they see a person. You know, they can't stop on a dime. So 40 miles an hour hitting somebody with a car is like throwing them from a 4-story building. So this is the campaign that we currently have underway for senior safety zones. The pilot that we're fighting for is to establish zones at 10 senior centers across the city. That is one in each council member's district. So everybody gets something out of it, and they all see the impact. They don't like to start pilots that large, and we may have to start with three. One of the things I wanted to share about this is there's a big interplay, and I really urge people to be involved at local, regional, and statewide levels. It's very important. I have been doing this work for a long time, over a decade, and these people from San Jose want to work in and pedestrian safety, said, well, we want to have a senior speed zone. I said, that'll take a change in the state law. And the guy, we couldn't get that through in the 2 years of the first grant. Well, it turned out there already was a state law that I didn't know about, and I'm one of the premier people in the field in California. I felt so stupid. But it was passed in 1998, and it was hidden. It was buried. And they made it, these are all signs from the city of Oakland, where the United Seniors, who started the walk clubs are from. Their local councilman was instrumental in getting the law passed in the first place. So it's basically for seniors, the same kind of speed zone as you have at schools. But, so we worked at the statewide level to amend that law so that it was easier to get them implemented. They had a barrier that basically meant you had to have a bake sale to get the money to put up the signs. The city wouldn't pay for them, and neither would the state. So it was designed to undercut. And so we got that changed at the state level to make this easier to implement, and it was the priority that the local community had of the next step. And so the other thing that was really interesting is that when the traffic engineer came back to the Eastside Neighborhood Center to ask them what they wanted, they were willing to give them a senior zone in front of their center, and all of the residents voluntarily said, we want it citywide. They wanted to fight for it to be across the city, not just to get it for their own. And that's really an important lesson in working with a whole community who's really passionate about a change and seeing it as benefiting a wider community than themselves and not just something that they're entitled to get just for their own. So we want to go where the people are. We need to speak in the community's language or get help. We need to empower residents to speak for themselves when they go and talk to their council member and take a petition signed by 200 people that they went around and got to sign it in 2 days. It makes a big difference. And when they go and talk to city council or go to a commission, then they have to listen. And a lot of the residents develop strong relationships with their local council member. And it's a large enough council that that's only the beginning of the battle. Don't let agencies pass the buck. Like I said, you know, the seniors said, no, you can't just do it here. You need to do it across the city at all the senior centers. And we didn't have anything to do with that. You know, we didn't know the traffic engineer was going to ask the question. We didn't prime people for the answer. It came directly from them and from their hearts. And so celebrate your successes. Community change is a long haul. And thanks.